Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. we got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We're going to go ahead and get Antonio McKee on the line right now. I'm running a little behind. I'll take the blame.
What's up, Donnie?
What's up, Big Daddy? How you doing? Welcome to The Fighter's Voice, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, the Mandingo. You know, homie, I sit back and I think about your nickname. It just kills me every time. You know, because true to life, it's you, man. You the Mandingo. You're
That's
the man.
A warrior. That's a warrior. Mandingo warrior.
Hey, I love it, man.
What's going on
yeah,
out here? Lots of stuff going on, huh?
Yeah, it's crazy, crazy times, brother. You know, you and I can sit back 6 months ago and we could talk about the path that we've walked on. We could talk about life. But now we can look at each other and each step forward, each day that God gives us, we've never walked before. You know, so when you look at it with that analogy, is that we're walking on a path we've never walked. How does Antonio McKee see life?
As controversy or controversial as it was, as it is, as it always will be, I still have the same feeling. I feel great about me. I feel great about the people that I'm connected with. I feel good about you know, the gym, the fight world, and my family. As far as the world, I feel like we're in a great position right now as black men, brown men, islander men. I feel like we're in a good position right now for the world to finally hear our complaints, to finally listen. And it's okay for us to exchange knowledge and exchange conversation without someone getting offended or someone getting hurt. There's this Black Lives Movement, okay? Now, let me be real clear on this because I get a lot of heat. And, Don, I've seen some of the stuff you posted. I saw you got a lot of heat.
Oh, yeah.
I am a man of God, okay? I'm a man of God, okay? And you can do and choose whatever you want to do in life. But I don't agree with women being with women. I'm sorry.
No.
So I don't support it. You do what you want to do. That's on you. I don't support it because I'm a man of God. And according to the scripture and according to nature, if two men stay together, our humanity will be lost. If two women stay together, our humanity will be lost. There will be no more reproduction, okay?
Well, yeah,
because two
no
women can't make a child.
Yeah, you
right.
can't procreate.
So that tells
you know.
Me... That tells me the laws of nature don't support it, whether it's right or wrong, whether you're spiritual or not. It will end us as individuals. Now, you have the right in America. You have freedom. And you can do whatever you want to do, which is fine. But I cannot support that act. Now, does Black Lives Matter? Absolutely, it matters. Everybody's life matters, in fact. So I understand I understand what they're saying, but I don't stand behind the people who are pushing it because I'm against homosexuality. I'm against men being with men and women being with women. I'm not into
that.
All right,
let me cut you there. Let me cut you there real quick, bro, because you, man, you couldn't have brought up this in a more articulate way. The power forward for the Grizzlies, a good friend of my son and mine, Anthony Lamar Tolliver, who plays in the NBA, he's a power forward. He commented on that video that you're talking about that I posted. And I loved it because he's young enough and he's a man of God and he's articulate that he put that there is a difference between that group and between Black Lives Matter. And there truly is. And I don't think people understand that. And I don't think people get that. You can be proud of who you are. You could vent your frustrations. But there are two different aspects to Black Lives Matter. Now, one that you speak of is the LGBTQ aspect. It's the main coalition for Black Lives Matter. But coming from people that are true Americans that love our country and don't want it destroyed but just want equal rights and values, those are the people that are real in the Black Lives Movement. Would you say that's a fair assumption?
Yeah. Well, when you say what's fair, the movement and the actual people who are behind it.
Yeah, because they're two totally different people in
right,
a lot of
right,
regards.
Right, right, right.
Yeah,
yeah,
they truly
I agree.
Are in a lot of regards.
I agree 100%. So I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
I want to ask you a question. If I am a former, now let me make this right. If I'm a police officer and my job is to uphold peace in the community, and I beat the shit out of somebody, and there are other officers watching me, are they guilty for the same thing that I'm doing? Because this is exactly what we're saying. Look, not all cops are bad cops. Look, the movement Black Lives Matter are not all bad. So I'm just saying I get behind the support of it, but I don't support the people. Who, like, I would never give my money directly
support
to that
the
cause,
not the movement.
Right.
Right? Yeah, support
so,
the cause,
yeah,
not the movement.
So, you know, I'm a little different, but, man, I think really honestly we're in a great position right now to be heard for once. And, look, let's talk about in Chicago. We got over 200 shootings. They're giving them what they asked for, and people are dying crazy. This little innocent 8-year-old girl just got shot. Like, we have a problem. We have to understand that social racism is real, and we have to understand that this whole setup from the beginning, I don't think people really know history like I do, and I'm a history freak. The first slaves that came to America, it was slaves that were brought here. They were so amazed at how they worked and how disciplined they were and how easy it was to manipulate them. And you got to remember back in the 1800s, cotton was more valuable than oil. And our American brothers and sisters, even though we don't want to claim some of these people, but they were responsible for billions of dollars being generated off of free labor. So when people talk about hatred because somebody is black, that is a little different than when you're having slaves and you're making money. It became racial later. In the beginning, it was about profits, that we could have all these people work for free and we keep all the money so we don't have to pay. The North and the South War was about slavery. Nobody wants to admit this, but when you really go in and break the history down, the North actually won the war, right?
Yeah,
but the South
but blacks fought.
Won
blacks fought
on
both on sides,
the back
though,
end.
Bro. But hold up,
huh?
Hold up. But blacks fought on both sides, you know?
Right.
People don't
okay,
want
to. Okay, so wait.
They
let me
bring
break
up
that
down
issue.
For you. They, Yeah, well, break it down for me, homie, because I know about history too, bro.
Black spot on both sides, but let me tell you something. The British, see, the reason why the North won was because the British slaves knew the routes into the woods, the slave routes. They knew the wood route, right? So they were able to knock down a lot of soldiers that were in the South. But here's the problem. When the blacks from America came back, they were still niggas and getting spit on and didn't have no rights and were still slaves. The British at least honored them because the South said, we promise you 40 acres and a mule. They never got it. But the North said, look, y'all ain't going to get a fair shot in America. You see what they're doing. So what we're going to do is we're going to drop y'all off in Canada. So that's how we got to Canada. Like, you got to really do some deep digging on this stuff to get it. So, yes, it was black and white fighting on both sides. But then when you know who Francis Scott is, Francis Scott is the guy who wrote a poem. It was a poem. He was a writer. He was a poet. And he was also an attorney. He wrote the Star Spangled Banner, and in the third verse of it that they took out was glorifying the murdering and the bloodshed and the killing of the blacks. So when you have guys that don't want to stand to the national anthem, I get it. We don't stand to nothing that Hitler did. They want to take out the monuments. They want to take out the statues of these racist white people that were racist, okay? They're racist. You cannot glorify that. So you have to take down those statues. You have to get rid of them because these people were evil. They were racist. And you guys know when you study the history, and this is why the movement, they're taking these statues down. They're changing the names of these schools. You cannot glorify racism today because the millennials today are on a different page.
All right, let me break down two different aspects. Let me break down two different aspects, okay, because we're brothers. So my listeners that are listening tonight, If we debate or we go different on a different thought process or different perspective, me and Antonio, we still gonna walk away brothers. I mean, so you could take the show however you want, but I'm just letting you know that we're not gonna always agree on everything, and this is what's wonderful about who we are. We understand that when we walk away from the show, we still walk away brothers because
it's number love.
About educating. Yeah.
Right,
you know,
but the truth is the truth, Don. You can't debate about the truth. The truth is the truth.
Oh, I know. But let me ask you this, okay? Let me ask you this. You know, when it comes to retribution, okay? I'm a Native American Indian. The white man.
Break down retribution.
Okay.
Some people won't get it.
Let me speak. But you know, the white man came over here. From England, and they killed and raped and pillaged my people after we fed them and took care of them.
Are you talking about the Spaniards?
But listen to this, though. Where I differ from most people is I look at my people. My people weren't innocent. My people raped.
And who are your people?
Pillaged,
who are you referring to? Native?
Yeah, the natives.
Are you talking about the natives?
Yes, sir. You know, we killed our own people. We killed our own people. You know, so...
You know that's normal.
Yeah, it's what man is...
White people kill white people. Black people kill black people. Indians kill Indians. Natives kill natives.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at...
That's normal.
What I'm getting at is I don't feel like I'm entitled to reparation. You know, I'm 56
years old. But you did get... The natives did get reparation. They did get reparations. They gave it to everybody except for the blacks.
Yeah, but I've never claimed it. See, that's the difference between me and them, is when I went through college, they tried to give me computers. They tried to pay for my schooling. They tried to give me $3,000 a month. I wouldn't take it because I was working. I became an educated man. I took the engineering boards through the union, so they paid for all of my schooling, my computers, my books, you know. What I'm getting at is, if you go at a problem the same way for 50 years, and it doesn't create change, but you have a positive to the word you're trying to get out, don't you have to find a new way to create change?
Absolutely.
You know, you look at Martin Luther King. And we brought this up before. What if he would have stood up and said, if I had a dream? But he didn't. He said, I had a dream. That was the man in his time to empower the people, to give them what they needed. Would you say that now is the time for a young, strong black king to rise up and be the voice of reason for the people?
Absolutely not. It's going to take more than that. It's not going to be a black man, because in order for you to make a change, you have to know the history and you have to know your past. And that was where blacks got cut short. They took our history away. They took our identity away. They ripped us from our language, our culture, our science. All of that was taken away. So how can you move forward in the future if you don't know your past? It's impossible.
I agree with that. I agree with that. But don't you think that somebody like yourself... Hold on a second, bro. Don't you believe somebody like yourself should and could be a much better representation of Black Lives Matter than the true organization that sits out there today?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, because I came from the slums. I came from the bottom of nothing. I created something. But I have to only understand my past in order to make a difference in my present and in my future. If I don't have any history of something, how can I talk about it? How can I do it? So this is why it's so important that everyone else learns history, but we never learned our history. This is why you got to go back in the beginning, man. It was like the Native Americans got done really bad, but they felt bad about it. They gave them reparations, right? The Jews, they gave the Jews reparations, right? Yes. Okay. They even gave the Asians reparations. Remember in 1984, 86, Ronald Reagan gave $20,000 to every Asian that because of what happened to them when we did what we did. Okay. And that was for 4 years.
Let the Vietnamese invade our company, our country.
We're talking 4 years that they said, look, we got to give these Asians reparation. That was so wrong. 4 years of wrong. We've been done wrong over 400 freaking years of just white supremacy, baby. And it is what it is. I'm not mad. But what I want to ask is, when it comes down to the money, where are those companies that benefited billions of dollars? Because I can name companies and I can break it down to you because I have the literature that benefited billions of dollars. How much money do they donate to Afro-American programs like the Jews? The Jews, the Asians, they have a very powerful revolving economic system. How can we have the same powerful revolving economic system when the whole society of leaders, of people who dictate the laws and dictate legislatures and what to do and what not to do, are racist? The ones that make the shit happen are racist, and they have an agenda. And if you're not part of that elite, then you're part of the agenda. And everyone knows
that.
Let me ask you this,
because this is something that happened that I think is very ignorant, and I'm sure you'll agree with me. And this is, speaking on history, it's a prime example of how uneducated these young people that are pushing for names to be removed off of objects and for products to be removed off the shelf. They get rid of Aunt Jemima syrup. Okay, yeah, she was a slave, but she was also one of the first people that came out of obscurity and became the first millionaire. That was a black American. And,
but who owns the company? It's not black owned. Aunt Jemima's not black owned. That's owned by who? See, that's manipulation, marketing manipulation, if you ask me. Put a black woman on here, everybody
is
black.
But you also got to look at the other side of it, too, bro. You got to look at the other side of it, too. Not only did she become a multimillionaire, but she created several black entrepreneurs and made them into millionaires, too. So even though the system is broken, she created a change in the cycle. Am I correct or am I wrong?
No, you're correct about that. And look, I can give you the same guy, John Brown did too when he went out and started killing white folks for the freedom of blacks. He created a change too. And look, the peaceful man, Mr. Martin Luther King, ended up dead anyway, and they killed him. Why? He was a peaceful man. What'd you kill him for?
Yeah, but I mean,
Malcolm X was a violent man. Huh?
Yeah, he's fireworks. You see what I'm getting at, man? It's
we have a sick society that we live in, Don.
Yeah,
look,
bro,
I love America.
Well, because
and people
let me
say,
ask you a
go
question.
Away.
When you look at me, because I know you'll answer honestly, we've known each other a long fucking time, and we've had
right.
some pretty deep conversations, and we're family. I mean, how long have you known me? And I can guarantee you I know the answer to this question. You've never looked at me because of the color of my skin.
No, I don't see it. But see,
Either
I'm not a racist person like that. I don't
yeah.
see color. I see a relationship. That's why I get so upset when I talk to people who say there's no such thing as white privilege. I'm like, what? Okay, so, but you got to respect those people who don't see white privilege. Because they haven't been in the neighborhood. They operate on a different scale. They live over there. It's different rules over there than it is over here. Because I lived over there. And I had to go by a different set of rules. And I was black. See, I lived in Laguna Niguel in 1990. I had a condo out there. I got pulled over every night by the cop. He said to me, I don't want no niggas down here.
Yeah,
you stay where you at.
Let me break that part down for my listeners real quick, because my listeners are worldwide, so I want them to get an understanding of what you're talking about before we go any further. I'm originally from California. Okay, I moved to the Midwest 23
okay.
years ago. Now, you got to look at when I moved to the Midwest 23 years ago, they were already 20 years behind California or the East Coast, just completely that far behind in ethical thinking and the way of life, everything. Okay, and I gotta admit, when I first came here, I $800 for a one bedroom apartment in California was cheap. So when I can find a house for $800 here, I'm going to rent it. And it just happened to be in an affluent white neighborhood. Well, an all-white neighborhood. And I got pulled over 5-6 times a month at home asking what I was doing in the neighborhood. You know, so I don't like it when people tell me that I don't know what it feels like to be called the N-word or to be oppressed, because I do. I've been in those situations. I've had gun shoves in my head and in my mouth, you know, just for being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, but I appreciate what you said earlier. Not every aspect of law enforcement is that way. People need to understand that ignorance is taught at home. And not every individual is that way. You know, people choose to be law enforcement or fire department, you know, firemen and things of this nature because they have a caring act. Some of them do it for the wrong reasons. You know, Will Smith said it the best, and I kind of like this analogy, and I may piss to some people off. I don't care. He said, it's been happening a lot longer than you think. Now it's just being filmed. What do you think about that statement, Coach?
Right on the money. I've been seeing this my whole life. That's why I'm not shocked about any of this. I've been seeing this my whole life, and, you know, it is what it is. I personally, I'll speak on the police department because you said something, that they're not all bad. But I want to tell you something. I think they really need help because we live in such a sick world. I don't think people realize, I have family that's law enforcement. I don't think people realize the trauma of a police officer every day. He's watching someone get killed. He's watching people get murdered. He's watching homicides. He's watching stabbings, he's watching shootings, he's watching molestation of children, he's watching burglaries, he's watching innocent people get killed. He's seeing everything. It numbs you to a point to where you're fucked up, man, and there is no coming back from that because we're human beings and we're built with emotions and it's natural. So no matter what you do, surgeons. They become numb to the blood, numb to the gut, numb to the broken bones because they see it and do it so much. So I believe our law enforcement, they need counseling. We, black people, anybody that's...
they need better pay, dude. Most people don't realize they only get paid $38,000 a year. You know,
well, how do you give more money to somebody that's crazy?
Well,
they need
you know what I'm saying? What they need to do is they need to raise the salary. They need to raise the training. And in the ultimate outcome, you're going to get a person that cares for their job, cares for the community. You know, you got to make the job more desirable, and you got to make the training longer. I mean, I went through the law enforcement sheriff's academy in Sacramento before I came out here. And
yeah.
It wasn't very long, you know. But what I think they need to do is I think they need to mandate a longer training aspect. But I in no way stand to defund or abolish the police department in no way, shape, or form. You know, I don't know.
Right, I agree with you with that.
Okay. Because we've seen what happened in Seattle. With CHOP or CHAZ, whatever you want to call it, you know, you give them 9 blocks and they end up killing each other.
Right.
There's going to have to be an answer to end this matter.
Yeah.
What do you think that answer is going to be, brother?
I think we're going to have to reform the police department. We're going to have to get a better relationship with the police department and the community. They're going to have to work together. That's the only way we're going to fix it. Is that we work together. The police need to be heard. The people in the community need to be heard. People need to be able to sit down and be heard. Now, you have some people that have a fucked up mindset. So whether they're heard or not heard, they're crazy. There's something wrong with them. They're not right. So we need proper representation from the hood, from the low-income areas, not some thug, gang-banging, drug dealer, punk that pulls triggers and kills 8-year-olds and, you know, does robberies and take from people because he doesn't have. We need somebody like yourself, somebody like me that's been there, done that, that can represent and speak with a voice of understanding. And we also know how to articulate and communicate with the others, the superiors, so I'll call them, the superiors. We have to be able to understand their language. And me and you can mediate between the streets and them. We need people like us making those positions and moving forward.
No, I
but defunding them
I,
is not the answer.
No, it's not the answer. And, you know, bro, 6 months ago, like I said earlier, if we would have said this would be occurring, I would have laughed at you, you know, because you look at the sport, and this is one thing I want people to understand. Yeah, my show is a sports show, but... I touch off topic on different things because I want the world to get a better understanding of everything. And, you know, I don't know. It's just I share what I feel like I need to share. And but one point I want to break down with you, bro, is in the sport, I honestly, in 23 years, I've never had to deal with racial inequality or any inequality whatsoever. I mean, if you understand the sport as being a harsh business and you take it for such, you know, as far as race, I've never been frowned upon. One of the greatest promotions in the sport is Bellator, and they've always treated me like family. How has the sport been to Antonio McKee coming up through the years?
Well, my old, the way I was treated before, it wasn't too good, but I wasn't too nice either. But the whole sport itself is different. You've got to be cut from a different cloth to get in the cage and fight and beat somebody up for a living and to receive financial gains from that, whether you hurdle or knock them out to receive bonuses. You got to be a little bit different. But overall, I'm blessed. I have a beautiful family, a wife, my son's undefeated, all my fighters are doing really well, so I'm blessed. You know, I made the best out of what I could with what I had. I didn't complain about what I didn't have, and what I didn't have and I wanted, I went and got it. But that's the drive in me. Not everybody can move like that. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm okay with everything that happens. Just by being a man of God, I believe that everything works as it is supposed to. I believe in law of attraction. What I do and what I put out in the universe, it comes back to me. I'm a good person, positive person. I receive good, positive people around me, and good, positive things happen. You happen to be one of them, Donnie. You're a good, positive person in my book, and we've never we can debate about differences, but at the end of the day, we respect each other's opinion, and there's no hatred because of the color of your skin, but because of how much money you don't have or you do have. So, you know, that's what it comes down to.
The reason I brought that up is because I'm trying to educate people. I'm trying to let them know that, you know, we're not going to agree on every topic. Even if we agree, we look at it at a different angle, and that's fine. You know, I always love to say we can debate without hate. And if you look at life like that, it's a much better place because, let's face it, family fights. Family argues, you know. It's not like we're going to get along 24/7. But I do want to bring up something because I'm not going to bring up the individual, but I just want to bring up something that happens all over the sport. But where has the gratitude from our youth? Where has the gratitude from a lot of people in life? I mean, you look at the situation that I did for that one person, and to be called a racist and a bigot was not right, bro. But how has it been for you as a trainer, as a coach, you know, breaking that cycle in the sport?
Because, you know, so many people have got so many different opinions, and there's just so many levels to this. Man, you know what? Honestly, I don't think I've done that. I do my job. I stay in my lane. You know, I think people who are on drugs, I'm not a drug user. I'm not a fan of marijuana unless it's medicinal use. But other than that, a lot of people are mentally fried. They're sick, bro. There's something wrong with them. They're not operating on all cylinders. So people like that, you know, you got to be careful when you're dealing or talking to people like that. Because a lot of these type of people, they're not aware that they're sick. They think they're normal.
Yeah, well, the situation that you know of, it kind of hurt me, bro. But one thing I want my listeners to understand, because you don't lie, you tell the truth, is that statement that he made, calling me a racist and a bigot, is there
Come
any
on.
Truth to that?
He doesn't even know the definition of a racist and a bigot if he called you that. If he called you that, me and you wouldn't be on the phone with each other right now. Because a racist and a bigot, you would have no conversation for me, and I would have none for you. So I absolutely don't think he understood it. And was that individual high on drugs? What was going through his head? You know, I think people misinterpret things, and I think when you're high, it alters your processor. And the processor that day may have not been working right. But you're not a racist or a bigot. You're far from that.
You know, that's one thing I love about you, Coach, is, like you said, we don't see color. We just want equality. We just want justice for all. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you may not agree with this statement, but I'm going to make it anyway because it's how I feel. But I believe that there's certain privilege in all races. You know, I think that...
Tell me that.
Oh, he's going to laugh at me.
Tell me.
No, but...
Tell me, what privilege does a young, ghetto black man have in the hood? What's his privilege?
Well, take away the color from that. Okay, take away the color. Just humble me. Take away the color from that. I'm a young dude from the projects where if you didn't find a body in the morning, shit wasn't normal. Then I went to the hood. Okay, but I was told I would never be nothing. I would never amount to nothing. And I took care of every advantage. Hold on. My privilege is having the right to gain and fight for a better life for myself. You know, people told me that, oh, you're a spick or you're this, because they didn't know I was Indian. You know, just people are just whatever. They said, you're never going to be anything. You're never going to amount to nothing. You're a minority. You're never going to be nothing. And I told myself that I was going to be something. And I fought for that right to be something. And not only did I get my degree in engineering, I got my master's in engineering science. I went through the law enforcement academy. Then I got into photography, and I'm a two-time Hall of Fame fight photographer and a multiple award-winning journalist on this show. So why can't somebody, and remember, leave the color out of it, why can't somebody that came from where I came from do just like I did?
They can, but that was you as an individual. You have a drive. You have something that a lot of people don't have. And that's not a privilege. That was a decision that you made, and you said, you know what, I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm not going to be like what these people say I am. I'm going to be different, and I'm going to give everything I got to be a better person. And you did that. But was there a privilege there? I still don't get the privilege. Where is your privilege at? For example, I would say if you are Mexican and you went to an all-white school.
I get what you're saying. I guess I'm kind of saying I looked at my privilege as having the opportunity to be able to do so.
Yeah, but that's America. That's in America, we have something here that most places don't have. But my question is, where is the privilege? Like white privilege, where is black privilege? Now, I can tell you where there's black privilege, but it's a godly thing if you ask me, and I'll probably piss off a bunch of people.
Break it down.
But to me, black privilege to me is physical ability, genetics. We have a physical privilege. We can walk from one end of the country to the other, and we don't burn in the sun. We can live in the jungle, a tropical environment, without obtaining skin cancer. Like, we are genetically fastest man in the world, okay? Explosive, we're different. We're athletic. Most of us are athletic. I'm not saying that there's no white people that are athletic, but you're saying privilege, we're privileged. And that's God-given thing.
But
it has nothing to do with man.
Let me break it down this way, though. Okay, just to kind of give you a different perspective, a different thought. Now, you speak of being privileged, and in sports, black Americans
spiritually.
Are. You know,
but that's spiritual.
You know, okay, but not
that,
feel me.
That's something
bro.
That God has control of to me. Huh?
Okay, but feel me on this. Feel me on this. Now, we talked about how there, you know, this. You know, the blacks feeling like, you know, they've been done wrong in their life. And I'm not disagreeing with that. Okay, but don't you think instead of being that NBA star, that football star, or that baseball star, that they should have took the college, you know, they had the opportunity, they're on a full ride scholarship. Don't you think some of these young black men should take advantage and look beyond the sport and look into becoming the change that they seek, become part of the system and change it from within?
I do. It's hard, and a lot of them didn't want to take that road. It was difficult. It was difficult being a black man running to be a judge, running to be chief of police, running to be a mayor. You know, it's hard because of all the things that they had to put up with when they were going to school, being called nigger. You're not smart enough. You shouldn't be here. Man, I can tell you, bro, I went through a lot of shit when I wrestled. And it didn't drive me to quit. It just made me say, I got to work harder. I got to win by 2 points, not by three. I got to win by 4 points, not by one. You know what I mean? I had to work harder because it was not fair for me. And I watched a lot of kids get taken advantage of the same way.
Well, see, racial inequality, and I want people to understand, this show is no way bashing on people. of any color, because both of us on the show tonight were colorblind. This is the show to educate. But, you know, when I came to Springfield, like I said, 23 years ago, I walked into a company. I started out a parts puller in the warehouse. I ended up in the corporate tech center within 2 weeks because of my knowledge, my ability, and my degrees. And I would walk through the warehouse. People would spit, chew on my back. I would find notes on my truck, nigger, don't eat your lunch today, or guess what we did to your lunch today, things like this. I mean, but you got to understand, still to this day, where I live is 20 years behind you. You know, people think that the United States is the same as far as diversity across the whole United States. It's not. You go 4 hours north of me, you go to St. Louis. You have one of the most affluent, diverse cultures in our state. You go 3.5-4 hours to the west of me, you got Kansas City, which is the same way. Bro, I'm 30 minutes from Arkansas. You know, so you're taking a further step back in the time, deeper into the south where I live, and it is different. You know, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to come on here and say that the Midwest is the most perfect place. But what I did find here is if you stand up for who you are and you stand up for what you believe in, people respect you. And it's kind of weird here because it goes back to that mentality that respect is earned and respect is given. If you teach and treat people how you want to be taught or how you want them to, you know, treat you, it changes things. I went to a bar one time. I'll give you a prime example. I went to a bar. Excuse me. I went to a bar one time, and I sat down. I wasn't there 3 minutes. This big, huge guy on the other side, white guy, he said, "Nigger, you need to get out of here." And I said, "I know two things. You can shut your fat ass up, or me and you, we can go out that back door and we can handle this like men." And he said, "Bartender, get that man a pitcher." And I made sure to go back to that bar every day for 3 weeks because I wanted people to know that they weren't going to scare me out of some place that I wanted to be and had a right to be. So racial inequality is, it does exist. How you handle it, that's up to you. You know, Coach,
well,
you've built
a lot of people that try to handle it the way you handle it, they end up dead.
They
you
do.
Know, they end up dead. And I'm not willing to.
I'm not
going to
lie. It happens.
And then I know people that don't fight back and they end up dead.
Yeah.
So
what
do you say to their loved ones?
This problem exists in our country. You know, it exists to our country. Do I think it should have been taken to the point that cities are destroyed and that all these people got killed? No.
You know what that means to me? The city is more important than lives, because when we burn down the city, we get more attention than when people are killed. It's all backwards. It's all backwards. More people pay attention when shit gets burnt down than when people are killed. That's sad. That's the system that we live in.
Yeah, look at David Dorn, a tremendous police officer in St. Louis, was shot in the head, a strong black man. And nobody gave two shits about him. You know, they were more built up on the riots and destroying shit than they were about even a man that gave his life to protect them. I don't like where we're at, man. This country's fucked up. People need to understand, but I think a lot of the politicians are playing both sides. I think a lot of the politicians are creating a racial divide again in our country. I do agree that there needs to be reform and there needs to be change. But I think it needs to be worked out with the people, because the politicians truly aren't doing very good at, a good job at it. You know, it's, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I want people to be people again, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that.
What's that?
I said, how do you get that?
I don't know. Education. You know, getting people to understand. You know, I take a lot of heat for doing these shows, because I've already been attacked by Black Lives Matter. I've been attacked by Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
I've been attacked by many.
Are they
going to
attack me too?
I don't know. That's something I can't
look,
promise you.
They can do whatever the hell they want to do. Hey, they can do whatever they want to do. I'm not with it. Just like they may not
yeah.
be with what I'm with. They not. I like a man and a woman to be together. They may not be with that. They might like just women with women and men with men. That's their. They have that. That they have that right. But that.
Yeah.
Hey, you do you. I'm gonna do me. And I should be able to freely speak how I feel, and they should be able to freely speak how they feel. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We ain't got to talk together. You want to be that way? I don't. So you go be with the people that make sense to you, and I'll be with the people that make sense to me.
Yeah. See, you know, one thing, I want to read this comment, because, you know, it's... Anthony Lamar Tulliver, he's such an intellectual young man. He's a man of God. Like I told you, he plays power forward for the Grizzlies. He said, the spiritual war is the biggest problem. And yes, liberal, conservatives, black, white, etc., we all have had a hand in what our country has become. So let's fix it together. What do you think about that statement from a young, articulated black man?
I'm with him. I agree. I'm with him. I'm about doing what he's talking about doing. But we have to set up a structure. There has to be a foundation for that to happen.
I agree. You know, you never thought we'd be having this type of topic on a show. But I'm glad we did, because life is such a beautiful thing. I see fighters that come on my show that say they were going to have a family, but because of the way life is going, they're going to hold off.
What?
You're a father. You have a very young son. You know, what does fixing this before your son has to understand the past in order to have a future?
Right, and he's being educated right now as a kid. I'm working on that right now. As a child.
Oh! Get your quarterback, Danny.
Sorry about that. AJ's chastising his dog.
Tell AJ I said what's up.
Don said hello, AJ.
Let me take
it. You know,
said,
Coach.
What's up, Don? When you bringing him back
man.
On the show?
He can come back. What is today? He can come back. He can come on Thursday.
Okay.
See if he wants to come on Thursday.
I'm in front now.
Might as well fill a slot while we live. Tell him he can come on Thursday at 7 p.m.
Okay.
But, Coach, I'm so grateful you came on and spoke about this tonight. So many people are so unwilling to. You know, I brought on Jamal Pogues. I had on Jalen Turner. And... both articulated young black men that feel the same way about you, and they love life, and we walked away from the show even closer as family, but yet they got hated on. So if you get any hate, bro, I'm sorry. I'm sorry in advance, but, you know, all we can do is educate society. All we can do is give people our thoughts, our perceptions. If there was a message before I let you go, if there was a message that you can give to the proud young black man of America, or any men, or as a country as a whole, that comes from your heart, that will kind of help educate and take away some of the hate, what would that message be, sir?
This is an easy one for me. Find a spiritual good side to connect to. Because with that, you can bring in good spiritual things. If you cannot attach yourself to something, then what is there worth living for? The right way. If you're empty and you're broke, then what does it matter? But if you know that there's something bigger and greater on a spiritual level, and you're grooming that spirit right now, for when it leaves the flesh, it takes on the energy that you gave it when it was in the flesh, and you got to live with this for eternity. That's to me what it's about. Love, brother. Love thy neighbors. Love thy enemy. I am for violence if violence is for me. I am for love when love is for me. And at the end of the day, we need to be one race. One race. And that's the human race. Everything else, I don't want to hear it. I don't have the mindset for it. And I think we need counsel.
We're all God's children.
Right, but some people don't believe in God. So now let's talk about energy. You're either positive energy or you're negative energy. What is your attraction? If you're negative, you think you can attract positive people? No. You're going to attract negative energy. I've never seen a positive person that hangs out with a bunch of negative people and they stay positive. They end up arguing. So for me, one love, self-love, and connect to a spiritual side. Love yourself first, and then you can understand how to love others. And that's it, man.
Hey, I'm going to ask you to do something I never asked you to do before, but a lot of the guests that have been coming on my show lately, they've been asking to do it. Kung Lee, many others have.
I get to pray? Am I getting ready to pray?
Yeah, you get to pray at the end of the show, hey. Bruh.
I love that. But, man, what's wrong with you? You're moving into a different direction. Woo-hoo! You're the man. That radio show got to be blessed, brother. I'm with it.
All right, let's do it, bro.
Okay, let me move myself into a place where I can do that. Hold on. Okay. Oh, shit. Go out the back. I got to get where it's quiet. Okay, we good?
Yeah, we good.
All right, brother, here we go. Dear Heavenly Father above, all the things that you've created and all the things that you are watching over, I ask that you take this moment, this time, and this second, and you put your hands and your blessings on those who are in desire and need, and those who are not, that you spare them with love and righteousness. I ask that you bless Don and that you protect him and his family and his loved ones, as well as the people that are related to him and connected to him. And I ask that you just continue to bless this world and that you continue to remove and dissolve the negative energy that dwells amongst us at this time. I ask that you give us the strength and the glory to get closer to you, Lord, that we become stronger in your faith and we become a better person. I ask that you bond and you do everything that you said you would do in the scripture and the word. I ask that you continue to do those things and that we continue to get closer to you, even in our daily struggles, and we give you all the problems because you said in your words that if we give you the problems and have faith, that you will set us free. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. I love you, bro. Truly appreciate
now you take that,
that
one, man. I'm fired up now. You got me feeling. I'm finna go in the house and start preaching.
You know, I love it because Fighter's been asking to do that, and you know what? I'm a man of God. I I walk with the Lord, and I think if a fighter wants to do it, then, you know, it's called the Fighter's Voice, man. It's
yeah,
your
show. You can't threaten me with it, Tom.
Hell no. Right. I love you, brother. I appreciate you coming on.
All right, man. You take care.
All right. Tell AJ Thursday, 7 p.m.
Okay, got it. Take care,
right,
Don.
Love you, brother.
All right, brother.
Peace out, brother.
Later.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understood tonight's show and the complexity of it. We've been friends for a very, very long time. And hopefully we educated some of you tonight. Hopefully we gave you a better thought of where people can debate without hate, still walk away with one love for each other. You know, these are roads we've never walked on before, roads we'll never understand. Do me and Coach agree on everything? No, but that's life. That's a part that a lot of people need to wake up to, because we can grow, we can change, but we don't have to hate. On that note, have a good night. God bless.
On the bungalow. Y'all motherfuckers ain't ready. Paving the motor.